Yes, sir.
Glory land will live eternally. My saints of every land are shining victory. And from the sea of praise and from heaven's door, that I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't
let the church say amen. I'm going to repeat what Brother Miles has already said this morning. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let us just keep that in mind, how good God really is. Because I didn't know this last night when I went to sleep, like you didn't know if I was going to be here today. It's only because of the goodness of God that we are still here. I want to thank Brother Oscar for that prayer that he did this morning. And just let everyone know God is deserving of great prayers like that. He deserves all of our prayers. And this morning, before we go very much further, let us go to God in prayer once again. O Lord, O great Father of heaven, thank you, Father, for blessing us down on this earth. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to come out and worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we are still here. Thank you for each and every person in the auditorium this morning. We pray and thank you for them and as well as their families, O Lord. Father, we thank you for the leaders of this congregation and their families as well. We thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services up to this point, and for their families also, and for all of those who shall come from this point on. Thank you, Lord. Father, we know that you are good because you are still in charge, and we know that you are nothing but good, and we just thank you, Father. Father, as we pray for those who are sick and shut in, those who are afflicted, those who are in the hospital, we thank you, Lord, and pray that they soon may get better. Father, we thank you for those who are recovering at home, that they may also get better. Father, we thank you for those who might be behind prison bars, that they will learn the errors of their ways, O Heavenly Father. And Father, we pray and ask you to have grace and mercy upon each and every one of us. And Father, quell the situation that's going on down in the St. Louis area. And Father, we just thank you that you are in charge and you know all about what's going on. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for those who are in the government, the governmental leaders of this world. We thank you for them and pray that they make the right decisions, that they may not harm or hurt anyone, Father, from doing, keeping anyone from doing the right thing. Father, we thank you so much for everything, and we pray and thank you for the parents who are raising their children, as the time is fastly approaching that they shall be going back to school. Father, we pray that they would go back and be safe in school and learn the lessons that are being taught to them. Help our young people to realize school is not for the teachers, but it's for the students. Help us, O Heavenly Father, to remember all things that you have given and done for us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray for and ask all these blessings and more. Let the church say amen. I may as well just do a quick, as they say, a shout out. If I don't know if any of you are baseball fans, but we need to be proud of our young people from on this side of town. The Jackie Robinson Little League, Junior League, Jackie Robinson Little League players, I should say. They have made us proud, and we hear a lot about the negative things that go on in our society, but let's give something for let's thank God for the positiveness as well. So let us, and by the way, keep your fingers crossed that they might win today. So they can even go further. So with that said, let us get into our lesson this morning. And the lesson is in the form of a question that each and every one of us needs to ask ourselves. And I'm not coming down on anyone. I'm not talking about anyone, but it may sound like it. But if it does fit you, then you must wear it. If all members of the church were like me, what kind of church would we be? So each and every member would need to ask themselves this question. If every member were like me, what kind of church would we be? And as expected, most of us in our answer would view ourselves as favorably, of course. There are many areas we could touch up on this day, but for the sake of time, and since I'm not Paul, I don't want to keep you until midnight. But we shall only touch up on several areas, several questions that could be asked. I think the greatest thing that could ever happen to us is for us to put on Christ and become a member of His body, which is the church. Let us be as a family should be and be focused on that which should be important to us, and that's Christ Jesus and His church. If all members were like me, what kind of church would we be? Would the church be separated? Our text tells us how we should be in verse number 1. Look at verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. This lets us know that we are to be imitators of God. We are to, as I so often tell you, be loving toward one another, encouraging toward one another, forgiving, and most of all, remember to trust and to love the Lord. Why? Because God is love. There are some in all churches that would cause a church to be divided if it were left up to them. But yet it is those same members who say that they love the Lord. If it were left up to some of the members, the doors of the church may as well be closed in some places. We must be about good works. Children can't feel love from their parents unless the parents show love. Our parent, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father has shown us love. Amen. And we should love and strive to do His will. When men and women no longer love one another, many times they separate. But as God's children, it is not good for us to cause a separation in His church, which is His bride. And the church is the bride of Christ. The text tells us to be followers of Christ. So the question should be raised, is Christ about love or about evil thinking? I want you to let that soak in for a minute. Is Christ about love or is He about evil thinking? If every member of the church were like me, what kind of church would we be? Would the church be separated? Well, not if I live godly and be as an example to others that the others may see my good works. In the verses of Titus 2, second chapter of Titus, I'm trying to say, over in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11 through verse number 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Then in verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, what does that mean? That simply means we ought to be doing good and we should not be worried about evil thinking and evil thoughts. That means that we should be loving toward one another. And I can't talk about loving one another enough. We need to make sure that we are loving one another. If every member were like me, would the church be separated? Well, if every member came like some of us come to church, it might be a separated church. Oh yeah, and I may as well tell you, you need to be in church each and every Sunday. You need to be here because the Bible prescribes it to us to be here. In Hebrews 10 and verse number 25, when the doors of the church are open, you need to be in the church. You need to be here. If every member were like me and see me coming up every so often or every other month when I show up, what kind of church would we be? Would we really be a church of Christ that we need to be in every week? You know, every week has a first day of the week. And so the first day of the week is the Lord's day. And since there's a first day of every week, and that means there's a Lord's day every week. Isn't that right? And when the Lord's day show up, we ought to be showing up just as well. So would the church be separated if every member was like you or like me in this case? Would every member must understand they need to be like Christ. And sometimes you don't know what kind of example you're setting for people how people see you when they look at you. How does one see you when you are looked at? Do they see you as an evil person? Do they see you as a good person? Do they see you as a person that wants to come to church and want to be a Christian for the Lord? Every member must be like Christ in order that we be not like the world. If every member were like me, remember that's the question that we each must ask ourselves. What kind of church would we be? Would we be a soul-winning church? What are we doing today to help win souls to Christ? You know, I can sit down and I could write a book about all the excuses that people give why they're not doing this or why they're not doing that. But, you know, the Bible is already a book and it's already been written and it already has the instructions and the directions for us. So we don't need to rewrite it. All we need to do is follow what it tells us to do. Isn't that right, church?
Amen.
So, would the church be a soul-winning church? Are you a help or a hindrance to bringing souls to Christ? Do you speak Christ to others, or do you turn off your light as soon as you leave the church? Let your light so shine that others may see, but do you turn off your light when you leave the church? In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 11, around verse number 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. But I want you to notice the B clause of that verse where it says, he that winneth souls is wise. Would the church be filled with the Spirit of God? Or would you spread gossip and evil spirits around for others to see and to hear? No one wants to attend a church where members are always full of disruptive evilness and ungodly behavior. Every member of every church should be in touch with the Spirit on the Lord's day. It was David who said in Psalms number 122 and verse number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I like how David personalized his thinking because he said, I was glad. Now, I don't know about you, but I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, when you get up on Sunday morning, do you find yourself dragging and taking your time and saying, I'll get there when I get there? Or are you happy when they said it's when the morning cracked and the dawn opened up? Are you glad it's Sunday morning? Are you glad to head for the house of the Lord? Every church member should be glad to let everybody know they are glad to be in God's house. And if we need a reason, all we have to do is go to Psalms 126 and verse number 3. And the Lord has done great things for us where we are glad. Aren't you glad that God has done great things for you?
Amen.
And just so you'll understand, if you think God hasn't done great things for you, just think, where would you be? Where would we be, as I often say, without Him? Where would we be? If God has done great things for you, you should be willing to let everybody know about it. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but none of us had to be here today. It is not that we are so good. Instead, it is because God is good and He has blessed us to be here. This is why the psalmist said in 118 in verse number 24, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." Be glad that you are in this day. You know, this day is I understand that this day is ticking on the rest of the days of our lives. But be glad that you have this day. Since you can't count on tomorrow, just be glad for this day. Let others know God has given us the grace and the mercy needed to be here today. Does your thoughts and your actions reflect that gladness? Are you sad and trying to bring others down with you? In other words, because you need to be buried, don't bury me with you. Don't try to bury everyone else because you are in a bad situation. I'll sympathize with you. I'll even pray with you. But don't try to spoil the blessings that God is giving me. I like my blessings. I like the blessings that God has given me and God has given for others. God is a wonderful, merciful, and loving God. And when you don't let others know about Him, it's Him and His church, you are not helping to win souls. And your attitude may also be the cause for others to fall.
All right, please.
In order to be a soul-winning church, the members must be a committed church. Not just one or two members, but all of the members. Some members are so easily swayed and we must hold fast to the Word of God that we are not easily swayed. According to Ephesians 4 and verse number 14, we are henceforth like be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, because it sounds good doesn't mean that it's right. Check it against the Word of God. If it's not found in the Word of God, let it go and show others that only God is always right. This is how we become soul winners. And you know, you never know how people perceive you. And because we are watchful and our neighbors are watchful, I'm talking about the neighbors that live next door to you now or in the neighborhood that you live in. Do they see you frowning up when you leave out on Sunday morning? Are you with a sad look on your face? Like, I don't really want to go, but I'm just going to go because somebody's going to be looking for me to be there. You got to be glad that you are able to go into the house of the Lord. You got to be glad that God has blessed you to be here. You know, there are many folk laying up in hospitals this morning who are not able to be here with us. There are many people that are in their sick beds this morning who are not able but wish that they could be with us. So when you have the opportunity to be here, you need to be here. So if I ask the question again, and you need to ask yourself the question, if every member were like me, what kind of church would this be? Well, I'll tell you something. The church will always be the church of Christ. The members may not be right, but the church may not always be right, but the church is never wrong. God saw to it when He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." His church will be here throughout the ages of time.
Yes, sir.
It's us that, on the other hand, that are not going to be here forever.
Uh-huh.
So what kind of church would this be if every member was like me? Ask yourself the question. And then not only ask yourself the question, but study the question to yourself. What kind of church would this be if all the members were like me? Would it be a giving church? Oh yeah, you know I was going to get here. Would it be a giving church if every member gave like some of us give in some of our churches? Many would probably close up the doors and say, we can't stay open any longer. Notice, if you will, what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians. Go over with me into 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "But this I say, he that which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Verse number 7. "Every man according to as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Oh, and I know many of you have interpreted that your own ways. But God, nevertheless, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. When we look at the matter, when we give, we are following the biblical principle of sowing and reaping. When we give, we are planting the seed, and whatever one plants, that's the harvest that they shall reap. Now, like I said, I hope no one gets offended, but I've got to give it to you the way it's recorded. But if I must tell you as it is recorded, some of us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and verse 7, we just read, but we don't follow it. The Bible says if we sow a little, don't expect a lot. But when you sow or give a lot, then you get a lot. You reap a big harvest then. How does one determine how to give? Well, it's very simple. Over in 1 Corinthians now. In 1 Corinthians, go with me in 1 Corinthians. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Look what the Bible says. It goes back to what we started talking about just a minute ago. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week," here it is again, "upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And I got to say something about that too. Don't wait till you get to church to start getting your collection together. You hold up the line as it's moving. Have it together when you get to church. Have it together so that the line will flow smooth and go faster. Because then the first thing you're going to say, "Ooh, they take so long up in there." But you are holding them up because you didn't get it ready before you got here. Upon the first day of the week. That's what the Bible says. This text tells us when to give upon the first day of the week. And the Bible leaves it up unto us on how God has allowed us to prosper. Only you know that. Only you know that. If God didn't give you nothing, did you prosper anything? Well, you're still living. You've still been blessed just the same. If God has allowed you to prosper, then from our hearts we must give or do some planting. Do you remember in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38 where the Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, for men shall give it into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured unto you again." You've got to give. I know y'all ain't got quiet on me a little bit now, but that's okay. I'm doing it as it's recorded. I didn't make up these words. I just read them to you from the Word of God. And when the Word of God speaks, we all need to listen. We have to give God back to God the way He gave unto us, the way He gives to you. Now, I'm not suggesting or trying to tell anyone how much you need to give, but the Bible tells us, give as you have prospered. Somebody said, well, I read somebody said, I shovel it in to God, and He shovels it back to me. But His shovel is bigger than mine. So just think about that when you're giving. If His shovel is bigger than yours, that means He can scoop up and give more back to you than you gave to Him. Isn't that right? When we let others know in a positive manner how good God is, the church will get ahead sooner rather than later. And we all need to be positive rather than negative about God's house. And I'm going to ask you something now. This is not a test. God is the test giver, not me. Does your answer to today's question ring positive or negative? Can others see Christ in you, or do they see a busybody, a gossiper, or a disruptor standing in a bad influence on others? Do others see someone looking toward the coming of Christ when they look at you? Do you project an image of Christianity in you? Or do you just say that you are a Christian? You know, it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning. The Bible said, be you not just a hearer of the word, but be you also a doer. Now, we've got to do what we need to do according to the Bible's way. It's not our way, but it's the Bible's way. And I tell you something, church, when it comes to the collection, I bet we all could stand a little improvement. I know what we say. If I give a lot to the church, I won't have nothing to pay the bills. But you need to make sure that you take off the top what God has given you. Take that first, and God will provide. God will see to it that you get that you do well, but now you got to be doing right. So when we look for the coming of Christ, according to Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 42, watch ye therefore, for you know not the hour that the Lord shall come, or that the Lord will come. But I tell you what, one thing is certain. He is coming back. I would suspect that all of us stand in the need of some rehabbing. If all members of the church were like me, what kind of church would we be? Well, I'll tell you something. The church is not going to change. The church of Christ will always be the church of Christ. Go with me, if you will, over to Ephesians chapter 5. And starting at verse number 21. Verse number 20, actually. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. And I'm not preaching about marriage this morning. But for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. I'm still not preaching marriage. I'm just reading the text. Husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, the church is going to be like the Bible prescribes it is going to be. But I tell you something, when we consider the Word of God, and we need to do that, when we consider the Word of God, we ought to be willing to make changes. I told you last week about our bodies changing. But that doesn't mean your soul has changed, your spirit has changed. That your body is going to change, no doubt about it. But you need to make sure your spirit is changed as well. See, you can't, not only from a physical standpoint, but you can't from a religious or a spiritual standpoint, do the same things you used to do when you were younger. You ought to, if you've lived long enough, you should have learned a lesson, learned some lessons. And some lessons we need to learn is, one of the lessons we need to learn is that God is right. We need to make sure that we are living right because God is right. And you need to consider that question, how you present yourself as a member. Because when you don't present yourself as a good and a righteous member, every time when a visitor comes in, they may see and be looking directly at you. And if they're looking directly at you, what will they see? And then you need to consider that when you come to church, it's not a once a month thing. You don't come to church once a month and say, I've done it for the month now. You need to come to church each and every Lord's Day. When the doors of the church open, you need to be here once again. And that includes Bible class. That includes Wednesday night class. That includes whatever the church has going on. Now, I may as well tell you, we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago and it wasn't supported by the as well as it should have been by our own members. I don't mind telling you. You should have been here. More of you should have been here. Because the church meeting was for us. The meeting was for us to get better acquainted with the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. But you know what? Some of us decided, I don't want to go. I'm not going to go. It's too late for me to go. It's dark outside. If you had to go to work, would you skip work? If you had to go grocery shopping, would you skip grocery shopping? If you had to go to the mall shopping, would you skip going to the mall shopping? We need to put things in its proper perspective. We need to make sure that we're living like the Bible tells us to live. And are we all going to do everything that's right? No, we're not. I got a minute or two. I just look at my watch just to keep y'all happy. I got a minute or two to just say a couple of more things. See, at one point I wanted to tell the elders they should put a clock up there just for me or whoever's standing in the pulpit. It wouldn't be for y'all. It would be for whoever's in the pulpit. But I never asked for one. So I have to look at my watch now. But I know I got another minute or two because I was kind of short up there and I didn't finish all of my thoughts. So I'm finishing them now. Finishing up with them now. So I need you for you to know that we need to make some changes. And don't ask me what changes I need to make, preacher, because that's up to each and every one of us to decide what kind of changes I need to make. If you're not planning right, don't expect to sow right. Or I should say, don't expect to sow. If you're planning a little, don't expect to sow a lot. Lord, gonna bless me. I'm going over to the casino and the Lord gonna bless me. I feel it tonight. The Lord ain't going to the casino with you. I done told you that over and over. He doesn't ride that. He doesn't get on that boat with you or that casino, whatever it is. And somebody said, well, I'm not going over there for anything but to eat. Well, if you go over there to eat, you're bound to get into some gambling. Because the food is going to get good to you. And it's going to be a cheap price. And you're going to say, I need to get spend a little bit. I need to just spend a little bit of money to show them how much I appreciate this meal. So we've got to learn to make some changes. And the board needs to look better than it looks. If you still are giving the same dollar or two that you gave 5 years ago, it's not working anymore. The gas bill has gone up. The light bill has gone up. The benevolent work that we do sometimes rises and lowers according to a situation. But we need to have more. And then you sing that song, "Oh, how I love the Lord." Oh, I may as well let you know, you can't love Him unless you show Him how much you love Him. You can show Him better than you can tell Him and sing a song to Him. Just show Him. And I'm going to close up now. I've said enough. Enough folks probably mad at me by now. If you are not a member of the Lord's body, you need to consider becoming a member of the Lord's body. And somebody said, "Well, how do I do that?" You come by hearing, believing, repentance, confession, and then being baptized in the watery grave of baptism right behind me here. But if you have been, and I know that many of us go way back. Some of us go farther back than others, of course. But if you go far back, but somewhere you lost your way. And believe it or not, church members do lose their way. The preacher loses his way sometime. The elders lose their way sometime. The members lose their way sometime. All of us, any of us can lose our way sometime. But you know something? God has prescribed the way to come back to Him. Amen. He has prescribed. All we need to do is just ask Him, go to Him, ask Him for forgiveness. Then come forward, ask the church to pray for you, that you may gather strength. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, you don't need to tell nobody what you've done. I can stand up here all day long, but I don't have to say to you what I've done. I can just ask you to pray for me. And you don't have no business to ask me what I've done. But I just ask you to pray for me. And I've already asked the Lord to forgive me. And now I'm asking you to pray for and with me that I may grow stronger. So as I close now, this is the final closing now.
All right.
If every member of the church were like me, what kind of church would we be? Now there's some more to that message, but I just briefed it up a little bit for you. Because I didn't want to be here all day and all night, just like I didn't want to hold you. Because I didn't want y'all to walk out on me. So if that's your desire, as we together stand and sing the invitation song.